This is Mark Stein. Welcome back to part two of our Song of the Week centenary salute to Sammy Cahn.
Life is dull, it's nothing but one big lull. Then presto, you do a skull and find that you're reeling. She sighs and you're feeling like the toy on a string. And your heart goes ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding.
The Sinatra of the 50s and 60s was very different from the boy crooner of the 1940s. And Sammy Cahn and Jimmy Van Heusen were a big part of that change. Let's go back to that very poppy, wheezy, technically rather substandard telephone conversation I had with Sammy on the day that Jimmy Van Heusen died. And I asked him about the differences between Cahn and Van Heusen and Burke and Van Heusen. That's to say, with Jimmy Van Heusen's previous lyricist, Johnny Burke.
It did change with me, because when he wrote with Johnny Burke, the Irish poet, the songs were a little lacier, the more fragile kind of songs, polka dots and moonbeams, my heart is a hobo, the lacy songs. When he wrote with me, I wrote more down-to-earth lyrics, you know, more pertinent lyrics, more abrasive lyrics, if you will.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast, you'll get shut out. Make like a Mr. Meek, and you'll get cut out. Make like a little lamb, and wham, you're shorn. I tell you, chum, it's time to come blow your horn. Make like a Mr. Mumbles and you're a zero. Make like a Mr. Big, they dig a hero. You've got to sound your A the day you're born. I tell you, chum, it's time to come blow your horn. The taller the tree is, the sweeter the peach. I'll give you the whole Magilla in a one-word speech. Reach, make...
When people said to me, who's the most fascinating man you ever met? So that's easy, Jimmy Van Heusen. Jimmy Van Heusen? What about Sinatra? And Sinatra thinks he's Van Heusen, but he can't pass the physical. And that's not a joke. That's not a joke.
In civilized jungles, the females adore the lions who come on swinging. If you want to score, roar. You can be either read to or be the reader. You can be either led or be the leader. Don't wait until you're told you're old and worn. Take in some air and get your lips puckered before you find you're simply too tuckered. I'll tell you, chum, it's time to come blow your horn.
And using
had blow your horn.
A lust for life unimaginable, you know.
I tell you, chum, it's time to come blow your horn.
I think you first met him when he was a rehearsal pianist,
at
Remix or something.
At one of the Remix Music Company with Harry Warren's brother, Mousy Warren, was the professional manager, that's who he was. Mousy Warren, that's what Jimmy Van Heusen, and he was one of the real swingers then.
Hey there, Mr. Build a fence around your sister, it's the boys' night out. Hey there, Buster, it's the engines after Custer, it's the boys' night out. town and before they're through, it's bound to be likened to the night they lost the Titanic and the Wall Street to panic.
I guess that's what Julie Stein would call one of those clicky-clacky theme songs from one of those forgotten 60s sex comedies about a trio of married men who decide to split expenses on a love nest in the city. It starred James Garner, Tony Randall, Kim Novak. You don't really need to know anymore. You can more or less figure how it goes just from that casting. Patti Page sang the song in the movie, but that Sinatra arrangement by Billy May really gets the full juice out of it. Hey there, mister, build a fence around your sister. It's the boys' night out. Hey there, buster, it's the engines after Custer. It's the boys' night out. The boys' night out would make a good title for the Kahn Van Heusen Sinatra partnership. Kahn and Van Heusen played a key role in reinventing Sinatra in the 50s. The finger-snappy swinger of the Capitol era owes a whole lot to Sammy's breezy, insolent lyrics. Van Heusen and Sinatra actually lived together for a while, and when it was 2:45 and there was no one in the place except you and me, the fella keeping Frank company as they closed out the bar was generally Jimmy rather than Sammy. Van Heusen lived that life. The first time Sammy described him to me as a legendary swordsman, I was so young and naive I had no idea what he was talking about. But between the booze and the broads, he wouldn't have had time for fencing lessons anyway. As a companion to Sammy's Frank can't pass the physical line, they used to say that every man in the world wants to be Frank Sinatra, except Frank Sinatra. He wants to be Jimmy Van Heusen. Frank embodied that ethos, Jimmy lived it, but Sammy wrote it.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue.
It would be doing the Kahn and Van Heusen catalogue an injustice, though, just to put it down as a soundtrack for Sinatra's legend. When he invented the notion of the concept album at Capitol Records, a thematically united set of songs with a narrative arc, it was to Sammy and Jimmy that Frank turned to tie the whole thing together with a set of specially commissioned title songs for an album of travel numbers.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
For an album of jumpin' dance tunes.
Hey there, cutes, put on your dancing boots and come dance with me. Come dance with me, what an evening for some terpsichore.
And for an album of waltzes.
Before we say goodbye forever, come waltz with me. Come waltz with me. Once more.
Ah, but that was a Come Hither title song too far. Sinatra mothballed Come Waltz With Me, and it didn't see the light of day for 3 decades. But as you can hear, he went to Kahn and Van Heusen not just for the swingers, but for the title songs on the sets of brooding elegies for lost love too. This is how what many consider his finest ballad album.
Each place I go only the lonely go, some little small cafe, the songs I know. Only the lonely know melody recalls a love that used to be.
Van Heusen's tune is so haunting. Nelson Riddle's arrangement is so romantic. Sinatra's singing is so good. You just wish Sammy had taken a little more time. Some little, small cafe? The cafe is both little and small? How about that? Why not some little dark cafe? Why not some little anything cafe? Sammy used to say no one wrote better, faster, or faster better, but I wish sometimes he'd slowed down just a little. Still, Sinatra valued Kahn and Van Heusen highly enough to get them to do not only opening numbers, but closing songs, too. This is how the Come Fly With Me album brings it all back home.
It's very nice to go traveling, but it's oh so nice to come home. No more customs, burn the passport, no more packing and unpacking. Light the home fires, get my slippers, make a pizza.
Make a pizza. In fairness, I think that's Frank's line rather than Sammy's. And then on Come Dance With Me, after all those up-tempo numbers, the perfect closeout.
One I particularly like is The Last Dance, which...
I must tell you about that. Do you understand what... Van Heusen's style of writing is too flat.
Yes.
Flat, like, you know... Ba ba da ba 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 da.
Yes.
Ba ba da ba 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 da.
Yes.
Ba ba da ba 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 ba.
Yes.
Ba 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 da ba da. Ba ba da ba da ba ba. He flats the note, which makes it very, very interesting. Now, when we wrote The Last Dance, we wrote it very fast, and I liked it. We went, it's the last dance, we've come to the last dance, you know? And the next day he said to me, I've changed it. I said, why would you change it? No, he says, no, listen. And he flatted the whole song, and it made it Van Heusen.
It's the last dance. We've come to the last dance. They're dimming the lights down. They're hoping we'll go. It's obvious they're aware of us, the pair of us, alone on the floor. Still, I want to hold you like this forever and more.
One of my favorite songs as well.
Yes, it also made it more of a last dance in mood.
Yes,
it?
I say it's the last dance.
Yes.
We've come to the last dance. He's very, very, very unique.
It's the last song. They're playing the last song. Orchestra's yawning. They're sleepy, I know. They're wondering just when will we leave. But till we leave, keep holding me tight through the last dance. Each beat of the last dance, and save me the first dance in your dreams tonight.
It's really an amazing body of work.
Mm.
It really is an amazing body of work. And here we have some songs that are, like, you know, a song called All My Tomorrows?
Today I may not have a thing at all, except for just a dream or two. But I've got lots of plans for tomorrow, and all my tomorrows belong to you.
Sinatra recorded that in 1959 with Nelson Riddle, and it didn't do anything. So he recorded it again a decade later with Don Costa, and again it didn't do anything.
Right now, it may not seem like spring at all. We're drifting, and the laughs are few. But I've got rainbows planned for tomorrow, and all my tomorrows belong to you.
That song is slowly, slowly. He used to say, Van Heusen, and this is a direct quote. He said, you write the best song you know how to write, and then forget about it. Don't worry if somebody's going to sing it or not sing it. You have written the best song you know how to write. And that's All My Tomorrows. Suddenly lots of people are finding it and recording it.
Today, I may not have a thing at all, except for just a dream or two. But I've got lots of plans for tomorrow, and all my tomorrows belong to you.
That's Shirley Horn's lovely record. This is Glen Campbell's take.
Right now it may not seem like spring at all. We're drifting and the laughs are few. But I've got rainbows planned for tomorrow, and all my tomorrows belong to you.
And where's Lou Whitfield?
No one knows better than I that luck keeps passing me by. That's fate. But with you there at my side, I'll soon be turning the tide. Just wait.
And Michael Feinstein.
As long as I've got arms that cling at all, it's you that I'll be clinging to. And all the dreams I dream, beg or borrow, on some bright tomorrow, they'll all come true. And all my bright tomorrows belong to you.
Who else does that song? Sammy once said to me that at some committee-type meeting for ASCAP or the Songwriters Hall of Fame or something, a fellow called Bob Dylan came into the room a few minutes late, slid into the chair next to Khan and said, I've just recorded one of your songs. Oh yeah, Teach Me Tonight, said Sammy. Teach Me Tonight, as we heard, being the Sammy Khan song for people who don't otherwise like Sammy Khan songs. No, said Dylan, All My Tomorrows. It's true. There's a bootleg out there somewhere or other of Dylan singing it on stage in the 80s. He can't write those kinds of songs, but he loves to sing them. Sammy Khan was a full-service wordsmith to Sinatra, with or without Jimmy Van Heusen. He wrote tons of special material for Frank for TV and concert appearances, including one show at the Royal Albert Hall when Sinatra's special lyrics to Cole Porter's Let's Do It included references to Brit celebrities I doubt either Sinatra or Khan had ever heard of. I almost fell out of my seat when I heard Frank singing about the England cricketer Ian Botham. Somewhat closer to his comfort zone, here's some jolly Rat Pack japes with Frank and Sammy Davis Jr. Special lyric by Sammy Khan.
And when it's a sleeping time,
that's when we rise.
We start to swing,
swing to the sky.
Our clocks don't chime.
What a surprise.
They ring. A ding ding, a happy new year.
And now to repeat what I said
and
at the start, they'll need a large crowbar to break us apart.
We're alone but far from blue. Before we get finished, we'll make the town roar. We'll make all the late spots and then a few more. We'll wind up at Jilly's right after Toots Shore. Life is gonna be a wee wow wee for my shadow and me, me.
Say, Frank.
What is it, Sam?
Would you do me a favor?
What do you want now?
Would you mind just taking it one more time?
From the top?
No, from the ending.
Wonderful.
And while we are swinging, to mention a few, we'll drop in at Danny's, the little club too. But wind up at Jilly's, whatever we do,
yeah,
life is gonna be a wee wow wee.
Oh, forget it, Sam.
All right.
Clocks don't chime, they ring a ding ding. Happy New Year. Sammy Khan was the guy Frank turned to when he needed a Christmas rewrite of Greensleeves.
The bells ringing everywhere. For the sound of Christmas is in the air.
And when he needed a ring-a-ding-ding rewrite of Simon and Garfunkel.
So how's your bird, Mrs. Robinson? Dandy Mrs. Robinson, you say. Hey, hey, hey. Well, have you heard? Mrs. Robinson, mine is fine as wine, and I should know. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Mrs. Robinson, keep them cards and letters coming in, Robin.
So how's your bird, Mrs. Robinson? Mine is fine as wine, and I should know. If you know your Rat Pack slang, you'll have a sense of what that's all about. Paul Simon told me how much he loathed that record. But there aren't many guys other than Sammy who'd be comfortable rewriting both Paul Simon, composer of Mrs. Robinson, and Henry VIII, alleged composer of Greensleeves. One night at the end of the 50s, Sammy Khan found himself sitting across the table from a guy called Jack Kennedy, who told him he was thinking of running. Running for what, asked Sammy? For president, said JFK. Sinatra thought he and Sammy already had the perfect campaign song for Kennedy.
'Cause he had high hopes, he had high hopes, he had high apple pie in the sky. Hope so.
There was just one problem. There's nowhere in the tune to High Hopes where you can fit the word Kennedy. And that's a big problem in a campaign song. I mentioned earlier that Sammy knew not only his catalogue, but everybody else's too. And he remembered an old George M. Cohan song from 1907. He once sang it to me in a Mayfair fish restaurant.
H-A-R-R-I-G-A-N spells Harrigan.
Maybe he could shoehorn the name Kennedy into High Hopes, the same way George M. Cohan got Harrigan in. Here's how it turned out. JFK's 1960 campaign theme, written by Sammy Kahn and sung by Frank Sinatra.
K-E-N-N-E-D-Y, Jack's the nation's favorite guy.
Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. 1960's the year for his high hopes. Come on and vote for Kennedy. Vote for Kennedy.
Keep America strong.
Kennedy, he just keeps rolling up. Kennedy, he just keeps rolling up. Kennedy, he just keeps rolling along.
Well, that's a campaign song. we can't close out this little section on the flotsam and jetsam of Sammy's work for Sinatra without including this. Sinatra was always convinced that the executives at Capitol Records never listened to the songs he recorded. Never paid any. They just go, that's great, Frank. That's terrific, Frank. That's great. And he wanted to test this theory. So on the album Close to You that he made with the Hollywood String Quartet, he included this song, music by Jimmy Van Heusen, words by Sammy Kahn, sung by Sinatra. There's a flaw in my flute. This love song will break your heart.
I used to sit by my fireplace and dream about you. But now that won't do. There's a flaw in my flute. Your lovely face in my fireplace was all that I saw. But now it won't draw, 'cause my flute has a flaw. From every beautiful ember, a memory arose. Now I try to remember and smoke gets in my nose. It's not as sweet by the unit heat to dream about you. So, darling, adieu. There's a flaw in my flute.
And just as Sinatra predicted, the executives listened to that track and go, hey, that's great. That's great, Frank. That's one of the best things you've ever done. Do you know what makes that so funny? It's the fact that it's an utterly absurd lyric with that exquisite, beautiful Nelson Riddle chamber arrangement, played in utter seriousness by the Hollywood String Quartet. That is a terrific record. When you get past Sammy Cahn's crack about what comes first, the words or the music, answer the phone call, his working method divides neatly into two halves. With Cahn and Stein, Julie Stein wrote the tune first. With Cahn and Van Heusen, Sammy wrote the lyric first. He liked to say that he played the typewriter, and he did. Most lyrics written first tend to come out too fixed, too tumty-tumty, but Sammy Cahn made that typewriter sing, and Jimmy Van Heusen responded to its rhythms.
The lyric came just ahead of the song.
But yet, you can't tell that, which I think, which in most situations you can.
We almost merged and meshed once the idea came into focus. Like when I would say to him, what do you think of this for a title? The Second Time Around. A love song for a widow and a widower. In this film, less than distinguished film called High Time, in which Crosby goes back to college as a widower and meets a widow. Like, you know, Rodney Dangerfield's plot, Back to School or something,
yes.
You know? And I said, what kind of a love song do you write for a widow and a widower? And finally I said one day, what do you think of The Second Time Around? And he always used to say, how do you mean that? And I would say, well, I said, love is wonderful the second time around, just as beautiful with both feet on the ground. And he said, no, what you want to say is, love is lovelier the second time around, just as wonderful with both feet on the ground. And then the song was written.
Love is lovelier the second time around, just as wonderful with both feet on the ground.
A good composer, the editor of the lyrics, he has to make the decision, is that a print or is that a, and he was very, very sensitive about lyrics.
It's that second time you hear your love song sung. Makes you think, perhaps, that love like youth is wasted on the young. Love's more comfortable the second time you fall, like a friendly home the second time you call. Who can say what brought us to this miracle we found? There are those who'll bet love comes but once, and yet I'm oh so glad we met the second time around.
If you study his music, his architecture of a melody was absolutely, almost Gothic. It was so clear. Like, if, whatever the first line was, whatever the melody line took, he followed it. Even if it became difficult, like in one song we wrote called Everybody Has the Right to Be Wrong.
Everybody has the right to be wrong at least once. Everybody has the right to be dunce, like once, like not being too smart is no disgrace. What sets you apart is smiling with egg on your face.
So the music goes da ba da ba da ba da ba da ba ba da ba. Then we had a line ba ba da ba da ba da ba da ba. So I looked at him, I said, no one's going to be able to sing that. He said, you sing it.
It's naive to make believe that you're right. It's not bright. Only fools go walking on thin ice twice.
I said, I'll sing it, but I'm telling you, no one. He said, don't worry about it. Now, this happened once, and one time we were doing a song for Sinatra, and came across one of those little, you know, very intricate lines, you know, and I said, no one's going to sing. He said, don't worry, just sing it, okay? I said, look, I will sing it and I will learn it, but I'm telling you it's going to be a problem for other people. So now we sing the song to Sinatra and he likes it, right? Now he starts to teach the song to Sinatra. And we come to that section and Sinatra stops. He says, I can't sing that. So that's what Sammy thought, but look, he sings it now. He says, so Sinatra says, who do you want to sing it, Sammy or me?
It's naive to make believe that you're right. It's not bright. Only fools go walking on thin ice twice. You and life can skip the strife and you'll both get along. All it takes is simply saying you're wrong when you're wrong. And everybody has the right to be wrong.
So from that day on, when I used to kind of balk at a certain intricate piece of writing, you would say, well, does that bother you? I said, well, no, I like it, you know?
You and life can skip the strife and you'll both get along. All it takes is simply saying you're wrong when you're wrong. And everybody has the right to be. It can be like out of sight to be. And I'd fight for the right to be wrong.
Look, I tell you, I'm telling you, the architects, if you look at his music,
yes.
If I would ask him once for a grace note, it's an eighth note attached to a quarter, and I'd say, can you give me, but if here, his eyes would cross, and he'd say to me, I will write you a new song. And I'd say, no, I love this song, all I want is a grace note. He would just stare at me and say, I will write you a new melody. He was very, very rigid and strict about, like I say, when he came to ba da ba da ba da ba da ba ba. I said, no one's going to sing this. He said, that's the way it goes. And I knew what he meant.
Sammy had a simple theory about how songs are made. And on stage, he put it this way.
I believe that a word is only as great as the note it sits under. I also believe that the craft and the art of putting words to music is a very special and magic business. And there are many, many examples I can give you of this art. But of the many, the one that comes to mind very quickly is this little example by Mr. Irving Berlin when he says, and if I ever lost you, how much would I cry? Well, I don't believe you can sing those words to those notes without becoming involved, without wanting to cry a little. That's what Mr. Berlin is about. If I had to give you an example of what I consider matching words in music, I'd say, call me irresponsible, call me unreliable, throw in undependable too. Do my foolish alibis bore you? Well, I'm not too clever, I just adore you. Call me unpredictable, tell me I'm impractical rainbows I'm inclined to pursue. Call me irresponsible, yes, I'm unreliable, but it's undeniably true. I'm irresponsibly mad for you. Now, where do ideas for songs come from? The idea for this song came from a script written by Henry and Phoebe Ephron called Papa's Delicate Condition, and the character, the lead character, was called irresponsible 1,000 times in the script. And you'd have to be very, very, very bright not to come up with irresponsible. Now, I trust that you noticed that that song has 5-syllable words in it. I only call that to your attention because I come from a 1-syllable neighborhood.
Call me irresponsible. Call me unreliable. Throw in undependable too. Do my foolish alibis bore you? Well, I'm not too clever. I just adore you. So calm, unpredictable. Tell me I'm impractical. A rainbow I'm inclined to pursue. Call me irresponsible. Yes, I'm unreliable, but undeniably true. But I'm irresponsibly mad for you.
You know, the song Call Me Irresponsible is written by Fred Astaire, I've told you. And that was one of our proudest assignments. We wrote the song Walking Happy. It was written for Astaire. Walking Happy was a description of the walk of an intoxicated man, a drunk. You say, how is that man walking? Is he walking crazy, eccentric? No, he's walking happy. And that's how that song came to be.
There's a kind of walk you walk when you feel like growing. There's a kind of walk you walk when you're on your way. There's a kind of walk you walk when your pride is showing. There's a kind of walk you walk when today's your day. And there's a kind of walk you walk when the
wonderful Peggy Lee. That's actually a show tune, the title song of a flop musical from 1966. Sammy Cahn went back to Broadway every so often, but never with very happy results. You can blame poor choices of material, but even if you'd handed him the script for My Fair Lady or The King and I doubt it would have turned out too well. Sammy just wasn't that interested in Edwardian England or 19th century Siam, or at any rate not interested enough to dig deep into character and plot point. It's no coincidence that his biggest stage success was his own autobiography. That was the one story he was interested in. Not because it was about him, but because it was about the world he loved. Singers, producers, showbiz. The world that really got his juices going. The nearest thing to a great Kahn and Van Heusen score is the songs they wrote for a Rat Pack caper relocating Robin Hood to Prohibition-era Chicago, Robin and the Seven Hoods. It works because it's Frank, Dean, Sam and Bing being Frank, Dean, Sam and Bing, and having played some part in creating their personas, Sammy had no trouble writing to them. There was a terrific Temperance song when the nightclub gets raided.
Mr. Booze,
Mr. Booze,
Mr. Booze, Mr. B-double-O-Z-E,
that sure spells booze.
You will wind up wearing tattered shoes if you mess with Mr. Booze.
Don't mess with Mr. Booze. Don't mess with Mr. Booze.
Don't mess with D-double-O-Z-E. If you've been so stiff they thought you'd die, you'll feel better once you testify.
There was an all-stars showstopper for Frank, Dean and Bing.
You've either got or you haven't got style.
If you got it, you stand out a mile.
A flower's not a flower if it's wilted.
A hat's not a hat till it's tilted. You've either got or you haven't got class.
How it draws the applause of the masses when you wear lapels like the swellest of swells. You can pass any mirror and smile. You've either got or you haven't got.
Got or you haven't got.
Got or you haven't got style.
For a throwaway movie, Robin and the Seven Hoods has a rollicking score. I used occasionally to suggest to Sammy that he do a stage version, but he seemed to sense that without Sinatra and co up there, it would all turn into feeble Rat Pack karaoke. Nevertheless, it has one of the great 11 o'clock numbers of all time, as the latter-day Robin Hood, acquitted by a Chicago jury, stands on the courthouse steps and sings,
"My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of razzmatazz. Chicago is the Wrigley Building. Chicago is the Union Stockyard. Chicago is one town that won't let you down. It's more
years ago, Michael Feinstein and I got into a polite disagreement about Sinatra amending lyrics to songs, just throwing in his own interjections or turning darling into baby, as he tends to do with Cole Porter or whatever. And in the course of this disagreement, Michael Feinstein made what I thought was an absolutely fascinating point. He said that he did that less with Sammy Kahn songs because Sammy wrote for Sinatra. So in a sense, they were already written in Sinatra's voice. They came pre-written with Sinatra's lyrical amendments. And there's a lot of truth to that. Kahn and Van Heusen's next big film was also set in the 1920s.
I wonder if something like Thoroughly Modern Millie, whether for a composer that's a challenge to write.
Sure, it's a challenge. Mm. You see what happened, the first time we wrote that, he was not
able to lower his levels. He wrote it kind of a little modern. And I said, no, they don't want it. They want, you know, something really, really in the style of the period. You got to forget you're this great. And he wrote what I think is one of the... That song sounds like it was written when it was written, you know?
There are those, I suppose, think we're mad. Heaven knows the world has gone to rack and to ruin. What we think is chic, unique, and quite adorable. They think he's odd and sodden and gomorable. But the fact is everything today is thoroughly modern. Check your personality, everything today makes yesterday slow. Better face reality, it's not insanity, says Vanity Fair. In fact, it's stylish to raise your skirts and bob your hair. In a rumble seat, the world is so cozy. If the boy is kissable and that tango dance they wouldn't allow, now is quite permissible. Goodbye, good goody girl, I'm changing and how. So beat the drums, cause here comes thoroughly modern Millie now.
I think you said that you'd never had an exclusive partnership because you didn't want either of you to...
Because I said to him, too many people stick together when there's no need for them. When the phone stops ringing, I said to him, look, if anybody ever says to me, I want you to do the score. I said, great, they say, we don't want you, Evangelism. I would say, look, there's no one better. I would go to the wire. But if there was nobody else and they didn't want, I'd give you the same privilege, you know, because you got to go where the phone call takes you. And that was our arrangement all the time. And the only reason we stopped writing together is because the phone stopped ringing.
It's the last song. They're playing the last song. The orchestra's yawning. They're sleepy, I know. They're wondering just when will we leave. But till we leave, keep holding me tight through the last dance. Each beat of the dance and save me the first dance in your dreams tonight.
After Thoroughly Modern Millie, Sammy Cahn found the hits harder to come by, so he made himself the hit. He reinvented himself as the celebrity songwriter, the guy you knew from TV, name-dropping his way through a ton of Hollywood anecdotage on the late-night talk shows. Every songwriter has an And Then I Wrote act, a one-man show he does at the 92nd Street Y to show tune aficionados or to cruise ship passengers in the Caribbean. But Sammy took his And Then I Wrote act to Broadway and then to the West End. And whether or not he was the best at writing songs, he was the best at being a songwriter. He had a natural comic timing. When I told him how much I'd enjoyed his autobiography, he replied, "Yeah, I couldn't be prouder if I'd written it." He was famous in a way other songwriters weren't. If you were with him in a restaurant, people would come up endlessly and tell him that this or that song was the one they got married to. He loved to be on stage, and he loved writing special material, endlessly rewriting his most famous songs for celebrity roasts of one kind or another, to the point where he was in danger of devaluing his own catalogue. I think it was during the 1988 election campaign I spoke to him, and he said he'd just been asked for a song for the first Bush administration, and he decided to use three coins in the White House, three coins in the fountain, which he turned into three, that's right, three men in the White House. And I said, well, what do you mean three men in the White House? Because I was thinking, okay, the president's in the White House. I suppose if you think about it, the president and the vice president are in the White House. What do you mean three men in the White House? And I think the third guy, if I recall this correctly, was James Baker. So it was three men in the White House. There's Bush, there's Quayle, there's Mr. B, Jimmy Baker. Yeah, by that point, he'd written one too many lyrical parodies of Three Coins in the Fountain. Julie Stein was not impressed.
Your partner for a long time, Sammy Kahn, I mean...
He can't get a job now out there. Very seldom to get a job, because the arrangers don't want him, they want somebody else. Sammy has a way of writing pop song, but Sammy's way can't, if you, is a style, and styles never last. Sondheim is an erudite fellow. 50 years from now, his lyrical sound, they look back as they look, we look back now on Gilbert and Sullivan, they say, gee, wasn't Gilbert unbelievable? Those inner rhymes, it's classic writing, you know?
I'm not sure that's true, but there's a very direct connection between Sammy Kahn and Stephen Sondheim. In High Button Shoes, there was a rousing 2-4 show tune that was cut because it didn't suit the old-fashioned period charm of the show. It went like this. I'm betwixt and between. Have to make my mind up which way to lean. Shall I stop? Shall I go? Well, 12 years later, needing a first act finale for Ethel Merman in Gypsy, Julie Stein pulled the tune out of his trunk.
You'll be swell. You'll be great.
A Julie Stein Sammy Kahn song from High Button Shoes, reborn as a Julie Stein Stephen Sondheim showstopper from Gypsy. I think Julie Stein's wrong on that comparison. Sondheim's, to me, somewhat overwrought lyrics from the 1980s already seem dated to me. That's a style as much as Sammy's ring-a-ding swingers from the 1950s are. And indeed, by contrast, the Kahn and Van Heusen songs for Sinatra seem to me to be among the last real additions to the American songbook, the last generation of standards. We didn't realize it at the time because Frank is so linked with those songs that we have a hard time thinking of them as standalone numbers away from his luster. But since Sinatra's death, I noticed that more and more current performers love to do these songs. Sammy Kahn didn't live to hear any of these renditions. Diana Krall.
Hey there, kids, put on your dancing boots. Come dance with me. Come dance with me. What an evening for some terpsichore.
Steve Tyrell.
Come on, fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly, let's fly, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze at the bar in far Bombay, come fly with me, let's fly away.
Stacy Kent.
You see a pair of laughing eyes, and suddenly a sighing sigh. You're thinking nothing's wrong, you string along, boy, then snap. Those sighs, they're part of the tender trap.
Harry Connick Jr.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you all the way. Happy to be near you when you need someone to cheer you. All the way.
Ricky Lee Jones.
Love is wonderful. The second time around, it's just as wonderful with both feet on the ground.
And John Pizzarelli.
Life is dull, it's nothing but one big lull. Then presto, you do a skull and find that you're reeling. She sighs and you're feeling like a toy on a string. And your heart goes ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding. How could that funny face that seemed to be commonplace project you right into space without any warning? You don't know whether it's morning, nighttime, winter, or spring. What's the difference? Ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding. She grabs your hand, this captivating creature, and like it's planned, you're in the phone book, looking for the nearest preacher. Life is swell, you're off to that small hotel, and somewhere a village bell will sound in the steeple, announcing to people, love's the loveliest thing. And the bell goes ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding.
This song was just a throwaway number for Dino in the original Ocean's 11. But just as Guess I Hang My Tears Out to Dry has come to embody a whole industry of contemporary singers doing standards, this song has come, this song almost single-handedly launched the lounge revival and became the number that everyone wants to do when they want to appropriate a bit of Rat Pack Cool, whether it's Robbie Williams.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like a fellow once said, ain't that a kick in the head? Her room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat?
Or the Irish boy band Westlife.
My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep, I keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful.
She's telling me we'll be wed. She's picked out a king-size bed.
I couldn't feel any better, or I'd be sick. Tell me quick, oh, we'd love a kick. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head.
Ain't that a kick in the head? A couple of years ago, I went to a concert in Burlington, Vermont. I couldn't honestly say that, music-wise, my kind of town, Burlington, Vermont, is. But Diane Reeves was playing at their somewhat undernourished jazz festival, and I'm a big fan of Miss Reeves. Toward the end of the show, she sang what I believe to be the last published song by Sammy Kahn, written with the jazz pianist McCoy Tyner. It's both the last Sammy Kahn song and a typical one, one that embodies his philosophy. Ordinary words transformed, as Sammy said, by the notes they sit under.
We meet and it begins, the sound of violins, the song of birds high on the wing. You taught my heart to sing. Why does this heart of mine feel like a valentine? You smile.
Sammy Cahn died on January the 15th, 1993. And the words he used to me upon Jimmy Van Heusen's passing can stand for him too.
For the people, people, love, believe, love, people, believe.
He's not gone. No songwriters go. They may go, but the song they leave behind a real, real heritage.
Much vaunted ego, Sammy Cahn was a personally very kind and generous man. It's thanks to Sammy that I got to meet Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. and all kinds of people. And for all the self-promotion, he knew not only his own lyrics, but everybody else's too. Not just Irving Berlin and Cole Porter and Oscar Hammerstein, but Mitchell Parrish and Dorothy Fields and Leo Robin and all the non-household names. That's how I think of him. You'd mention the most obscure song en passant, and off he'd go, wobbling away, accompanying the top notes with weird physical contortions, his neck rattling round his shirt collar, as if he were his own souvenir bobblehead gone haywire. There was no one quite like Sammy. He was a bundle of energy right to the end, always thinking ahead, always looking for the next tune, the next hit, the next record. And for longer than most songwriters, he found them. While I was rummaging through a box of old cassettes, I came across this sign-off from one of our phone conversations, which in an odd way sums up his boundless optimism and eternal high hopes. Sammy Cahn.
Hey, Mark, I love you. Send it to me when you get it.
Yes.
The final news. Even as we speak, I'm about to open on Broadway again.
Are you?
At the Helen Hayes Theatre come mid-April.
Oh, really?
You'll come see it.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's make it in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide side to side. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You're apt to hear the angels cheer because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's a perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Mark Stein's Song of the Week is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises. All rights reserved.